Please turn to Exodus chapter 20. Continue our studies on the Ten Commandments. We're doing one message per commandment. It's been many years. I can't even remember how long it's been since we've studied the Ten Commandments in this way. So this has been a good exercise for us, I hope. And I'm trying to show you the unity in thought of the Ten Commandments and God's provision for the world, which I will do as I introduce the Seventh Commandment today. But I'll read the entire section, though, beginning at Exodus chapter 20. Going down to verse 17. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting the punishment of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing favor to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain or for an empty purpose, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male slave or your female slave, or your cattle, or your resident who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. For that reason the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male slave, or his female slave, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Lord, help us now, once again, as we come to now the seventh commandment, and please, Lord, help us to understand the beauty and the sanctity of male and female, marriage, and purity in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I've been doing in the last few sermons on the Ten Commandments, is more trying now, more so as we get near the end, to keep tying it together so that you see the beautiful picture of the Ten Commandments, so that we might deal with any bias that may be resident in us or residual toward them. I'll say once again that the Ten Commandments design our life in this world. That statement in itself would indicate, and the Bible certainly establishes the truth of this, that the Ten Commandments are still valid at the present. Without the Ten Commandments, we would not be able to make sense of the world, nor would we be able to make sense of how to live in it. But with the Ten Commandments, we can know how to relate to God and how to relate to others in the world. They fit so beautifully with this basic idea of relating to God and relating to life and people. Now, by common grace, many people historically have seen the value of the Ten Commandments, not even being Christians, by common grace. Christians, however, must see not only the value of the Ten Commandments, but the authority that God has placed in them. And we will come to accept the authority of the Ten Commandments more readily as we more and more appreciate the beautiful design. For example, if we take the first four commandments, I've been saying that the first four commandments are a block. We believe that they were on the first tablet. There were two tablets. On the first tablet was the first four commandments. On the second tablet, commandments 5 through 10. Although some have suggested that they were all written on one tablet and the second one was a copy. That's possible. But whether or not, whichever of those is the case, the first four commandments are a block in teaching us our relationship to God. So that the first commandment teaches us that God is there. You remember, some of you may remember Francis Schaeffer's classic book, The God Who Is There. And the first commandment teaches us that God is there and he reveals himself in his word so that we are to have faith in him and him alone and worship him exclusively. Have no other gods before me literally before my face. The second commandment goes further. Not only are we to worship the true God alone, but we are to worship him correctly. So we're, as one has put it, we're to worship the correct God and the correct God correctly. The true God and the true worship of God. These two commandments, when you take them together, show us the true object of our worship and the true manner of our worship. Stated, of course, negatively, that we are to have no images. Because God is a spirit. He's incorporeal. He doesn't have a body like men, as the Catechism says. And John 4:24 also says, God is spirit. We were talking about this yesterday in the men's breakfast. With the help of Robert Raymond, we were talking about how, what does God is spirit mean? And it means two things. God is personal, and that God is not corporeal, or corporeal, however you want to pronounce it. So the first commandment, the true God. The second commandment, the true worship of God. The third commandment advances yet further and shows us how to exercise our faith and worship in this God through our speech. And it's, if we were thinking about why this progression and why this design, we would say, yeah, of course, I would have done it that way too. Because it's all about our speech, what we say, what we confess. Our speech is an endowment that we have. So the third commandment shows us how to exercise this faith in the one true God and this worship of God through our speech. Therefore, it forbids the misuse of God's name, which is really everything in the world speaks of God. The misuse of his name, it regulates our oaths and vows and sanctifies speech as a gift of God with which we praise him and bless others. So the name of God is seen in all things and honored on our lips. And then the fourth commandment sets aside one day from our six-day work week, which Jesus changed to the first day of the week, to be devoted to rest and remembrance of the creation so that we don't become slaves of work and don't lose our focus in life because of work. Besides, the pattern is God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and he sanctified the seventh day. He wants us to image him in that regard. So these four make up a block, or the first table of the law, for our relation with God. The second block, or table of the law, is for our relations with others and for the family and the society in which God has placed us. And this also has a beautiful design. Let me just review it for you here. The fifth commandment, which we talked about a few weeks ago, the fifth commandment transitions now to our life in this world in terms of human authority. The first four commandments are all about God as the supreme authority. God is there. God reveals his will. God is the only one who can tell us what to do in the absolute sense. But what about parents, and what about governors and civil leaders and church leaders? Do these people have any authority? Yes. God has given them authority as his image bearers. So the fifth commandment transitions to our life in this world in human authority, in the realm of the family, in the civil government, in the church, and in business life as well. And how do children learn how to relate to authorities that will be in their lives in the future? Well, naturally, they learn this in the family. That's why the fifth commandment is limited in its statement to honor your father and your mother. If they learn well there, then they will be better able to relate to authority structures in the world. And it's going to be harder and harder for authority structures in this world to deal with the next generation, because the society is corrupting them. And the basic structure of family life is being eroded. And the society that is, and the culture, and all the cultural gurus and the manipulators, they will reap what they are sowing. And Christians will come pick up the pieces in dealing with people. So that's the fifth commandment. So the fifth commandment deals with the sanctity of human authority. You're familiar with the phrase, the sanctity of life? With respect to abortion, we talk about the sanctity of life, the pro-life movement. So we understand this phrase, sanctity of life. Sanctity means sacred. It means that God has set it apart. God has defined its purpose, and we can't change that. So the fifth commandment deals with the sanctity of human authority in all of those realms. Parents, civil authorities, church leaders or elders, and in the realm of business, that is, your boss or your company. The sanctity of human authority. The sixth commandment speaks of the sanctity of life generally. You shall not murder. The seventh commandment, which we're talking about today, teaches the sanctity of actually four or five things, which I'm going to elaborate, but basically the sanctity of our manhood and womanhood and how men and women are to relate to each other. So the sanctity of our manhood and womanhood, or our created image as male and female. The eighth commandment shows us that a person's possessions are sacred to him and he has the right over them. So this eighth commandment speaks of the sanctity of possessions. If I work for something, if I legitimately work for it, I earn it, I own it, then it's mine. I know that God owns all things, but practically speaking, we own things too. And God protects our things from all kinds of theft, which we'll talk about when we get there. But the principle is that the eighth commandment deals with the sanctity of possessions, the ninth commandment, the sanctity of truth, and the tenth commandment, the sanctity of the heart. Teaching that we are to cultivate contentment, as the commandment forbids coveting. You shall not covet. So, I don't know about you, but I continue to marvel at this grand and great design that God has given in the Ten Commandments. Now we come to the seventh commandment. And the seventh commandment brings us back into the realm of the family again. Some time ago, I noted in my meditations on the Ten Commandments that there are three family commandments. The first is the fourth commandment. It's a family commandment because it says that you and your family are to observe the Sabbath rest. So it's actually talking about family worship. The fifth commandment is also a family commandment because it's talking about parental authority, honor your father and mother. And the seventh commandment is a family commandment also, dealing with another aspect when it says you shall not commit adultery. And so this commandment, at the front end of our study, naturally, we see that it's talking about the marriage covenant. You shall not commit adultery. A married man and another woman, or a married woman and another man. And we'll talk about this one in a couple moments here. In fact, we'll talk about it right now. I would like to show you that the seventh commandment speaks about the sanctity of five things. First, the seventh commandment addresses the sanctity of gender, a big subject today. But God put it in this commandment, the sanctity of gender. Because God created man male and female. Going back to the creation account in Genesis, he created man male and female. And remember what Charles Hodge said, that in the Ten Commandments, the highest form is mentioned in the commandment, and all of the lesser occasions or forms of that same sin are included in the commandment. You also have the different rules of interpretation, such as the inside-outside rule, that each commandment is not only dealing with the outward action, but also the inward disposition or the heart. The Westminster Larger Catechism, question 99, there's nothing that excels this explanation of the rules of interpretation of the Ten Commandments. And Philip Ryken, who was the pastor there in Philadelphia for First 10th Presbyterian for many years, he popularized them a little bit with these nice titles. The inside-outside rule, and also the two-sided rule, the law of opposites. Every commandment is both positive and negative. So this is helpful, and maybe you can remember this, that when you're looking at the Ten Commandments, there's an inside-outside rule, and there's an internal-external rule, the law of opposites, or positive and negative, excuse me. So back to our point. The seventh commandment addresses the sanctity or the sacredness of gender. God created man male and female. And I'm not going to go off on a harangue about what's happening in the world today. You know that all so well. But some basic points about this. First, we assert that God is masculine. He is not feminine. And you know all that man has tried to do with that, calling God a she, or having the feminine Bible or something like that, where all the personal pronouns of the masculine gender are turned to the feminine gender. This is all misguided and malicious attack on God. God is masculine. And man was created first. According to Genesis 1 and 2, man was created first, and the woman was created from him. Paul makes a point of this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. For it was Adam who was first created, and then the woman. And there's a theological point to that. And the point is simply this. It's actually a practical point that woman was made to be a helper to the man. And that's a principle of womanhood that God defines and is sacred to him. It's not popular in the world, but that's the way God has designed it. In some respects, this matter of the woman being the man's helper intersects with the doctrine of the Trinity, because the Holy Spirit, what is he called? He's called the helper or the comforter. So it's similar to that. And so there is a design in God creating man, male and female. But it also creates issues when sin comes in, that a man looks with lust upon a woman and you have things happen. Terrible things happen, like adultery. So first of all, then, the sanctity of gender. You feel for kids, don't you, who are being taught that gender is a choice of their own. We would simply say that in God's design, male and female is sacred, meaning that you're not to touch that. Try to redefine it. And also, going back to these other points, that God is masculine. Adam was created first. The woman was created to be his helper. There's a Trinitarian aspect to the image. In fact, you remember when it says, let us make man in our image, that there is something in the relationship of man and woman in marriage creating a third entity that is itself Trinitarian. Getting a little ahead of myself. So the sanctity of gender. Secondly, you have the sanctity or the sacredness of marriage. Paul, the writer to Hebrews, sets it in a bare statement in Hebrews 13:4, when he says that marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. I mean, it gets right to the point, doesn't it? The marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, because marriage is to be held in honor among all. But why is marriage to be held in honor among all? Can't we change it? Can't we rewrite it? No. Marriage is to be held in honor among all because it relates to the sanctity of gender and the purpose of creating a male and a female. The sanctity of marriage. But you can see how clearly then the seventh commandment aligns with this principle, because you shall not commit adultery. Why shall you not commit adultery? Because marriage is sacred. It is to be held in honor among all. It is to be safeguarded. And as the proverb says, the man who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. Wounds and disgrace he will have, and his shame will not be blotted out. And that verse doesn't mean to indicate that there's no grace, there's no forgiveness, and there's no moving on. That's not the point. It's just a warning about adultery, because marriage is sacred. So the sanctity of gender teaches the sanctity of marriage. Thirdly, it speaks of the sanctity of the family. He designed society to begin with families. Basic, foundational, however, but it's also seventh commandment. The sanctity of the family, that God designed families, and you can see how the seventh commandment is linked to that. You shall not commit adultery. Why? Because your family is sacred. Man and woman become a family, and then children. But even if there are no children, in a marriage union, that marriage still has a Trinitarian character to it, because, this is very important, because when a man and a woman become one, they create a new entity, so that when I married Wendy, it was, you know, we were two and then we become one. And Jesus asked that question, are they two or are they one? Well, they're both. Once I preached a sermon, I think it was at our son's wedding, and the points of the sermon were 1, 2, and 3. Our son and daughter-in-law, they are one, Abe and Rebecca, one in their marriage. But they are still two, but now they are three because they are no longer just Abe and Rebecca. They are Abe and Rebecca joined. And that's a new entity. And that's why the seventh commandment is so critical, because adultery strikes that blow at that union. So you have a man and a woman. A man and a woman become a family unit, children, usually, grandchildren, a family tree. And then you have family groupings. And Paul even talks about in that mysterious statement in Ephesians chapter 3, 15, that he is the father of all the families of the heaven, in the heavens and in the earth. Family groupings, even groupings of angels and spiritual beings. So there is in the family a great design of God. The sanctity of gender, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of the family. Fourthly, the sanctity of society. This has a very practical end. It's a very merciful and benevolent commandment that we are not to commit adultery, because adultery and all the sins associated with adultery, all those sins that underneath it, like Hodge said, about the principle that the commandment forbids the highest violation and every violation under it. And so the Bible talks about all kinds of immoralities, the word porneia, immoralities, indecencies, lewdness, and so many things. Because adultery leads to such things as murder. And even in David's sin, you remember. Adultery leads to murder. Adultery leads to the breakdown of the family. Adultery damages children. Sexual sins lead to some terrible things. The exploitation of children, sex trafficking, and we could go on, and the list would not be very pleasant. The sanctity of society. If you strike at the sanctity of this, what's in the seventh commandment, and you confuse gender, you confuse the society. And we're seeing that happen now. Who knows how this is going to work? It's just going to be one great big mess. Because the seventh commandment envisions the sanctity of society. Society itself needs protection. The seventh commandment offers it in many ways. The seventh commandment offers it, and so do the other commandments, like murder or forbidding stealing. Sexual sins corrupt the society. And finally, you have the sanctity of the heart. Gender, marriage, family, society, and the heart. And turn to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, it's not that the Old Testament didn't talk about the heart. It did. But Jesus really drove it home in the Sermon on the Mount when he commented on this commandment. In Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30. Matthew 5, 27 through 30. He could have done this with all of the commandments, but he just selected a few as illustrations, we believe. So he said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you," this is not something new, he's just trying to clear away all the Pharisaic accretions. "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now if your right hand eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." So as you can see, he's simply calling for a radical dealing with this sin in a person's life. But the point is, when he says that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. This is not something new, because we observed in the sixth commandment the relationship between murder and anger. So you could say the same thing about anger. If you're sinfully angry with your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. And the Bible makes that connection very clearly, just as it's doing here. So in one sense, all of the commandments are about the heart. And I believe that the Ten Commandments as a whole are bookended by the heart. First commandment, where is your heart? Do you worship God exclusively, or do you worship God and also worship things and pleasure? And the tenth commandment, you shall not covet, is the bookend to the first commandment. Guard your heart. So guarding the heart is really fundamental to all of the commandments, but in this commandment, it has to do with the sanctity of the heart. The heart is meant to be a sanctuary for God to dwell, and for his words and his thoughts and his desires and his designs to dwell in my hearts, and lust and passion of this nature grieve the spirit and push God out. So therefore, in closing, based on the two-sided rule, that each commandment, if a commandment is stated in a negative way, then it has positive implications. If it's stated in a positive way, like the Sabbath is stated in a positive way, then it has negative implications. So in this case, stated in a negative way, you shall not commit adultery, what might be the positive implications? When a sin is forbidden, the corresponding duty is required. So what would the seventh commandment require of us? Well, first of all, it would require watchfulness. Watchfulness over the soul. A nice book, we have it in our book service downstairs, was published a couple years ago, called Watchfulness, by Brian Hedges, Reformation Heritage Books. If you're interested in pursuing that and shoring up this part of your life, this would be a good resource for you. But be watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And with reference to the seventh commandment, and we need to be watchful. Also, contentment. Contentment. You remember that the seventh commandment is connected to the tenth commandment, because the tenth commandment says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. It's funny that those two things should be brought together, a house and a wife. But what joins them? What is the commonality between those two? It is a number of things, but the one we're talking about here is contentment. Be content with your house, your estate, what you have, and don't look at your neighbor's house or his bigger house or his fancier house or his well-endowed house and say, I wish I had that. I want that. I want that. I'm not happy with what I have here. I have just this little pittance of possessions. And do the same thing with respect to your neighbor's wife. You look at your neighbor's wife, you say, wow, she's this, she's that, I want her. So contentment. And then in addition to watchfulness and contentment, we are called upon to live a life of integrity. Integrity means wholeness, soundness. And in that you find the idea of purity. Purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's no mixture, there's no alloy, and it's there. We just purge it out with the fire of God's discipline and prayer and these other things. Watchfulness, contentment, integrity. Naturally, modesty. Modesty. Not only modesty in dress, but modesty in possessions, and modesty in every respect. Being conscientious about your appearance, and not only the appearance of your body and your clothes, but just your life, your demeanor, the way you live. And then we have another one, self-control. Naturally, to deal with this commandment, we need self-control, which is stated as the last of the fruit of the Spirit, because you can't have any of the other fruits, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, without self-control. Try it. You'll find it doesn't work. Self-control, and then often we need accountability. We just need others to help us. in this area. What we really need is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ helping us by his Spirit, saving us from our sins, and then filling us in our hearts with his Spirit, praying for the grace to be holy. And putting, as Paul put it, our sins to death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the design, the beautiful design of the commandments. And we pray for grace, Lord, to be pure. We pray, Lord, that in all of these commandments we might see that your Spirit helps us, Lord, to put them in practice and to progressively grow in faithfulness to them. So, Lord, we pray that you will also, Lord, if there be anyone here this morning who is not in Christ, saved by his grace, covered by his blood, that you will cause them, Lord, this very day to recognize that life is just too big and the judgment of God is too severe, Lord. We deserve it completely, that we need Christ to deliver us from all these things and give us the design that will help us to live our lives, live fruitful lives, that will be good for us, good for others, and for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're dismissed. Went off.
I guess it timed off.
It saves battery if you don't use it.
I just hate that. It's like, can I make a decision myself? Gadgets. Gadgets, gadgets, gadgets. Thank you.
empty aching in my soul. In this bright hour I speak your name. The shining world outlasts us all. Even the mountains seem to know you're gone. The foothills shimmer where they stand. The sky is still and much too beautiful. And I am missing you again. Songs I might have sung to you, the love I wanted you to hear. Every time the blazing sun goes down, another promise disappears.
I cut it off. I cut it off. Yeah.
That was, I knew I was in a truck when on our honeymoon, Don and I turned to the rearview mirror, but we're outside.
Right.
Not by gears, right there. So then we go up the sand. That's the way we do that. We're in the circle magazine or in the room.
Did it, yeah. Yep.
Grew up in the prosper. Family raised corn. And he said, we ate it in Rome. The white said, yeah, I grew up in New England. We used to fight it and spit it. And they said, and we developed the saying, that's the way we do it in my family.
Right. Yep.
This is great. Well, there's no, what kind of mind always fights and spins? I use a spoon, a large big spoon,
right,
and a fork, and I twirl it on there. John likes to break it up. It's not the way I do that. Now we do. We don't do spaghetti. We do calamari. There's angels here.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right, sure. Variety is the spice of life.
Yes, it is.
I should say the spice of eating.
All right.
emerging church.
Oh, goodness, yes.
See you, Bill. Have a good week.
My whole school is playing. My whole senior class is playing. Thank you.
Hey Mike, how you doing?
Driving?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Lilia fell asleep on me during Sunday school. And William fell asleep on me during morning service. I'm like, I guess they both missed me. And then Christy came in. Because Christy had hers, and she was roasting her.
Oh, right.
And she told us more about her dad.
Yeah.
So, she is, I think he has a doctor's appointment for a special. He has a, let me think of what it was again. She told us, see, that's what I did. I went over to Curb, just like that. She said that her dad was at the eye doctor. And he had passed out a couple times.
Oh.
They called the wife, his mom, her mom. Her mom was at her house. And her mom, she was hearing all this news or whatever. And Christy said, I saw my mom's face. And she was like, my mom was like, you know, your dad, da 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 da. I don't want to leave you. And she's like, Mom, go. So she got it because the husband wanted to drive home. And the people in the eye doctors were in there going, are you kidding? And he kept getting worse, worse and worse and worse.
Oh.
They took him by ambulance.
Right.
And she was, the mother was following the ambulance. She says, all of a sudden the ambulance lights went on. They sped through, they sped through traffic lights.
Oh.
They pulled over to the side of the road and to evaluate him, to decide, because he apparently had a stroke and a couple heart attacks. He's had triple bypass surgery.
Oh, wow.
But it doesn't have to do with the heart per se. He's got some kind of an aneurysm.
Oh.
I forget what the name is. It begins with an S and it's near the heart and the lung or something. So he is home.
Well, you have an ascending and a descending.
It was something else, like a stop systolic or
okay.
Something specific. I don't even know. And so he is home. He is a little bit better. They have an appointment on Wednesday to determine. We have to pray that this particular aneurysm, it could go one of two ways. It can either go away on its own.
Right.
Or they'll have to do surgery.
Right, okay.
So I'm like, well, I'm going to pray that it goes away on its own. She says, please, please. Because he apparently has had a stroke and a couple heart attacks.
Oh, wow.
She also said that he's the kind of person that, she said he walked around 2 weeks with a walking heart attack. 2 weeks. That van is still sitting there.
Yep.
So we have to keep just praying that, you know, this aneurysm will go away on its own. It won't be a problem. Wendy was supposed to do nursery with me today. And Wendy remembered she was supposed to do nursery. But we're like, Wendy, where are you going to put your grandchildren that you're watching?
Right. Yep.
So we're like, maybe you can, she goes, can I switch with someone? We're like, yeah. So she switched with Bev. Bev has it next week. So Bev stayed in morning nursery. So they switched. So. Yeah. Let's not let any other birds hit our truck.
Good idea. Mm-hmm. Dear.
We actually could hear Pastor today.
Could you?
Which was a first, because we've never been able to hear him in the nursery. And we can't figure out the air conditioner. We're having issues with that today.
Oh.
In the nursery.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'll have to figure it out. But we'll figure it out. Are you still really dizzy, or is it less, or...?
It seems to be less, but I feel...
You're off.
All over.
What do you mean you feel all over? Like...
I feel off all over.
Oh, all over. Okay.
Just...
Okay. The window tinting. Oh. Thank you.
As he went through, I should have went through immediately.
I know. Okay. What else? I should see if my package has been delivered yet. Let's see about it.
Scott was there today.
I know. I heard Scott was there with his girlfriend. It says it's arriving between 2:15 and 6:15, so it hasn't been delivered yet. So that's good. At least it'll be here. It'll arrive when we're home.
All those pipes are water, sewer.
So maybe an apartment complex?
Could be apartment complex. Could be plaza, townhouse apartments, and retail space. Kind of like Collingswood.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you were inside or outside, and I was like, Shiraz is like, if I see him inside, I'll tell him you're outside. I'm like, okay. Did you notice I was outside?
Yes.
Well, Maxine said that she called Allison and told Allison that we have to let Lisa into our exclusive club. I'm like, really? Apparently, Brian has 4 children. He had 2 girls separate, and then he had twins, a boy and a girl.
Really?
So that's why it's an exclusive club, because it's one of each sex.
I see.
So it's exclusive.
Oh, I see.
It's not just twin boys,
right,
or twin
okay,
girls.
Okay.
No, it's one of each.
One of each.
Yep, that's what makes it a special club.
Got it.
Yeah.
Gotta have one of each, huh?
Gotta have one of each being Maxine and Allison's club.
I see.
Mm-hmm. One of each. His nail polish is coming. Starting to wear at the top.
Well, is that on your real nails or those?
These are my real nails.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Okay.
I put a nail polish on, a regular nail polish.
Would you put nail polish on the fake nails if it was chipping? Or they don't really chip, do they?
They don't really chip, they just come off. And I don't know if I would have close enough color to the same thing.
Sure, I got it.
Yeah, I took off the nails. They just peeled right off, the fake ones. The stick-on ones or something like that. They just peeled right off.
Water.
Of course you can, honey.
Thank you.
Superman looks like they delivered a motorcycle trailer in there. I saw it.
Yeah, we may have to look around for one.
To rent?
Yeah.
Well, it would be better if it was in Deptford, because Deptford's real close.
Yeah.
To get up at Deptford, go right over to Pittman, Drake, back home, go back over to Deptford again. Real close.
Well, I'm not so sure if Deptford is more close. It's definitely more highway. I think Somerdale may be as close as the crow flies, because it's straight down 30. Maybe 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, as far as that goes. Of course, there's more lights and more traffic and stuff like that, but
sure.
Either one will do, I think.
As long as we can avoid coming all the way down here.
Yeah. Any way you look at it, we'll have to go there, pick it up, go back to the shop, grab boards, straps, whatever, stuff like that. Although, I guess we could probably put that stuff in the truck. So
I was thinking,
go right
can't
from
we put
there.
Some of it in the truck? Because it's got longer of a bed.
So in that case, Deptford would be the closest. Because you get right back on 55.
Right, exactly. So you dropped off the bouncer for me, right? They left it in the nursery. We go in the nursery last week and Bev's like, I couldn't find it. So I went into the nurse. I went into the nursery. I said something today. She goes, I couldn't find it last week. So I went over to Wendy. I'm like, do you happen to know where the bouncer went? She says, probably my husband put it away. He put it in the front closet by the door. Says a lot of times you think people just leave their stuff, and I was like, that was for a specific reason. So we took it off, we took the bag off, and we put it back in the nursery where it belonged.
Yeah, I left it in the bag, and I put it in the corner all the way.
The pastor thought that obviously somebody just left their stuff and just put it away.
I see.
Didn't take it out or anything like that. So we found it. I asked Wendy, we found it. And I guess I thought I saw Wendy's hair being colored, but it wasn't colored because it still looked the same today. State law. Keep right, except the past. Okay. Think the hypochlorotametron and the Sudafed help some?
Help clear up my nose a little bit, yeah.
Dig up the street again.
deaf for a while.
Pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I guess pickup trucks are becoming
hot item.
A big item. Yep. Maxine walks in after Sunday school. She goes, "All right, somebody give up one of the kids. I want one. Because Bev had one and I had one." And I'm like, "Maxine, you can have whichever one you want." She comes in, does something, turns around and walks back out without a kid. And I'm like, Bev and I are looking at each other going, did she just want one of them? So she comes back in again. I'm like, "You know, that was a little rude, Maxine. You were going to come in and get a kid. You left without one." She laughed and she went, "Yeah, I know." She and Lilia had my finger.
Okay.
So I handed Lilia to her. And as she takes Lilia, I'm prying my finger out from her. I'm like, "Okay, I'm free now." She had my hair on one side and she had my finger on the other side.
Oh, did she?
And I was like, "Okay, she's not letting go." And then when William slept, he had my thumb.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, okay. She had my finger, he had my thumb, she had my hair.
Were they laying on your...
Yeah, they were laying on me.
I see. So they just...
Yep.
Grab stuff.
Yep. Is this car pink or is it my imagination?
It's like a purple. Yeah, purple pink, I guess. If it was a little bit lighter, it'd be mauve.
Mm-hmm.
This clown trying to turn left. No, you don't turn left. Why aren't you beeping your horn?
They were just beeping their horns, a couple of them. But
no, I mean, like, they turned left.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. What is it? You don't think you could just go down that next light and turn around? It says no left turn. They want to do what they want to do. and you go. Run to that next car. Quick, hurry, before somebody gets in front of you. Heaven forbid.
I saw your truck.
Yeah.
And she's like, did you guys get a new truck? Like, we've had this truck for over a year. Over a year. Almost two. This would usually become in my car. Did last night, and I can do that too because I can't have the bread either technically. So
and you can have tomato. And
I can have tomato and lettuce. Sure.
Well, you can.
Yeah, as long as it's 4 ounces worth.
Okay.
Which is what I got to do. I got to.
Oh yeah, like a salad, right?
Yeah. But I can do lettuce and tomato on a plate too. Measure out 4 ounces.
How you turn in.
Yep.
Aggressive driving. What's that number? 7177.
We'll move over to this lane.
That's the guy you call in.
Thought it was 711. I'm not sure. Can't really see his license plate either. He's got it kind of covered with the that plate.
F60. That's it. NWL. I have 20/20 in one eye, and the other NWL. F60 NWL.
Good job.
I have 20 in one eye. The other eye is 30. Without glasses.
See, during the daytime you can see, but they're wings,
but
they look like butterflies.
Right.
But they're wings.
Mm-hmm. Pretty.
Okay, the wins could be for Carson. Doesn't matter. Either way, it's a win-win for me. It's either butterflies or wings.
Yeah. I gotta take a little crazy glue and close that cut up.
Ooh. How'd you do that?
I have no idea. Ooh. Usually when it's cold, it splits.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much when it's hot. They had a break-in at that place.
Ooh.
That's why they put the fence up.
Well, I also see that they're doing something to it because there was a porta potty there.
Yep.
Oh, so you're sure there was a break-in, huh?
I read it.
Really?
Yes.
That's because nobody
mm-hmm.
is occupying it.
Somebody raggy. Oh. Ouch.
It's a woman, too.
Beat that car up.
Hmm. Well, as of right now, there's nothing up for pool tomorrow. Anything.
Maybe because it's Memorial Day. I'm sorry.
Memorial Day isn't until
I know.
2 weeks.
Yep, you're right.
Usually by now they would let us know, or they should let you know.
Hi, Capitan. You know what? Maybe I'll try to get the lights on this afternoon.
The lights?
Yeah, for the trailer. Oh, you know what I need? Darn it. Let me drop you off. I need a probe.
From the office?
No.
Oh, from the store?
Yeah.
Well, let's just go.
Okay. Darn it.
Okay.
I should have stopped someplace on the way.
What are you thinking?
It's a little thing that you don't use too much, but U-Haul probably uses it all the time. It's a wire,
mm-hmm.
and on one side it's got an alligator clip, and you clip it onto the body for a ram.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side, it's got a little light in it and a handle, and it's got a real sharp tip to it.
Okay.
And what you do is you turn your brake light on, and then you pierce the wire with the pointy edge of the tip.
Oh.
And the brake... And it will light up if you got the right wire.
Oh.
If you don't have the right wire, turn the turn signal on,
mm-hmm.
and you pierce the wire that you think is the turn signal, and it'll blink.
Okay.
And that way I can identify...
which one is which.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I found my knife.
Where was that?
In my white box on the truck. I had two rags. It was underneath the rags.
Good.
I feel whole again.
I'm glad you found it. I know you would feel better having it. Right? Are you going to try advanced auto? Is that what you're thinking?
No,
or?
I'm just going to go here.
So I said advanced auto. Mm-hmm. Want me to sit in the car? I'll wait in the car for you.
I think so.
Okay. I'll do my puzzles, which I didn't do yet today. None of them.
Oh, dear.
Oh. One of the puzzles my grandson Carter started doing.
Mm-hmm.
He comes over and shows me like a real big deal.
Right.
He's at level like 125.
Mm-hmm.
I said, would you like me to show you what level I'm on with this particular one? He goes, yeah. I open it up. I show him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. I'm at level 2,000. He is at level 125 and he goes, Mom! And I'm like, yes, me. I told you.
I don't know. Whatever number this is.
Right,
0527364 AD.
I lost you after you said 36. I got B. What, 3644? And then what happened? No result. That's the call for that number. Yeah.
Okay, let's try this one.
The key is right there.
Oh, I thought you had it. Sorry. I thought you had the key.
Right behind you.
I didn't even notice it. I thought you had it. Sorry.
It's okay.
You're looking at me funny. I thought, well, what are you looking at me for? You got the key. That's what I thought. I thought you had it. The whole time. I thought you took it out and took it in with you. That's why I didn't move much.
There was this woman on the phone talking to the guy at the counter. He's got it on speaker, and she wants an axle bearing for a Dodge Durango, and he's like, you want the spindle, you want this, and I got the velocity joint, and he goes, look, I need to know what is it an RT, is it a base, is it, you know, sport, is it, well, I don't know. Let me give you the VIN number. Well, both numbers didn't come up in the computer. No, not
oh,
coming.
Boy.
She says, man, if I was standing in front of you, I'd choke you up. Shit. Brutal.
Wow. Wow.
Really brutal. They don't care what they say.
Probably would choke them too, but still.
Oh boy.
That car wasn't there when we came home. Are you going to be able to have enough room to do what you need to do?
Yes, ma'am.
Having it backwards?
Lisa, didn't I have the car parked in backwards the other day?
You know what? You did.
I moved over just a little bit to that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why it's too close.
My phone, honey?
Yeah.
Still connected.
I got it. I get it.
Do I got your face?
Thank you.
You like water.
They like a lot of water. That's how you get them to grow. You water them.
Yep. So that's what I did. I watered them.
Okay.
freak off in my food, girl. Okay.
Visiting here. I gave you 4 ounces of ground meat, as well as me 4 ounces of ground meat. I have that cooking. I did 4 ounces of lettuce and tomato for you, for me, and I was just about to do lettuce sandwich stuff for you, and do you want the tomatoes sliced, or do you want them like this? You can put the I took off the bad pieces, that's why this is like this. Would you like me just to slice your tomato? What would you prefer?
Thank you. you want more tomatoes than that?
That's fine.